Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
A 16-year-old girl, and she just turned 16. For all intents and purposes, she's still 15. This teen girl is in a coma with bleeding to the brain. Her grandmother tells us that she prays every night for the little girl to heal. Why? Because of a beatdown from another teen girl. Wait for it. While we all stand by, hoping and praying that Kelly Gain lives, will she be permanently brain damaged? Because it looks like she will be. At the hands of another teen who apparently is going to get the max of around 18 months in juvenile hall. Yes, you know what that is? It's you in a dormitory-style setting where you have touchy-feely therapy sessions every day. You go to school. You learn a trade. While this girl may be permanently brain damaged if she lives. Hello. Wake up, St. Louis. This girl, the perp, must be prosecuted as an adult. And catch this. The beatdown occurred just a couple of blocks away from the high school. And guess what the school says? We want to extend our thoughts and prayers to all involved. What? To all involved? What about the little... could you put that picture back up, please? What about little Kelly Gain lying there? She looks dead as all of the attackers and bystanders run and scatter. They leave her there? I'm not leaving it there. Look at the statement from Hazelwood East High. It's a tragedy anytime children are hurt. Bullying and fighting in the community is an issue for which we all need to take ownership. What does that mean, ownership? And work toward resolution. What does that mean? Put her rear end behind bars for a good 20. That's what I call resolution. For the sake of our children. The Hazelwood School District offers our sincerest condolences to everyone involved. They don't even mention Kelly Gain? Are they extending empathy toward the attackers? Because that's what it sounds like to me. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us here at Crime Stories and on SiriusXM 111. I want to warn you, we're about to play the video of what happened, and it is very, very disturbing. And if you think you're going to get upset, look away for about 30 seconds. If you could play, New York, the full video. And catch this. While the little girl is being beaten into a coma, some a-hole, technical legal term, videos the whole thing. They don't bother to call 911 or help Kelly. They video the whole thing. It's all like entertainment for them. Okay, let's roll it. Video of Kelly Gain being beaten. Listen, you could actually hear this little girl's. She's the same age as my son and daughter, Lucy and John David. And you could actually hear her head at that distance being hit down, thudding against the cement. I mean, I don't know if this girl will ever be the same. I mean, I'm just a JD. I'm not an MD, but I don't see how this little girl can ever, ever make a comeback from that. Just another thing about the video. You know, I've told many, many juries, I know you want to look away. I know it's upsetting. And I've seen many a juror wince and try to look away. No, no. We have to look. We have to see. We have to hear and know what's going on and know the facts before we can render any type of deduction, analysis, or judgment. You saw the video. I'm going to play it again. Video of Kelly Gain being viciously beaten. You think she, this girl, Marnice Duclos, should be treated as a juvenile? Okay, fine. You take her home and have her in your home around your children, because there is no way in H-E-L-L that I would let her get near John David and Lucy. Did you see her go back to the victim lying there? And remember, at this moment, the brain is bleeding. The little girl is going into a coma. Did you see Marnice Duclos, the attacker, go back to the victim, and she looked like a prize fighter? She was, you know, jabbing and punching in the air. Really, like she's about to go back into the ring with the WWE. Like jabbing and dancing around like she's about to take on Muhammad Ali. Instead of helping the girl that she just horribly, horribly maimed. With me, an all-star panel to make sense of what we know right now. But first, I want to go out to Alexis Terezchuk, CrimeOnline.com investigative reporter. Alexis, thank you for being with us. Let's just start at the beginning. What happened?
So this was a school day, right after school in the afternoon. These students leave their school. They walk not even 5 minutes away and get into a fight. But on a public street, the girls start fighting with each other. And the one who is obviously twice the size of Kaylee. Kaylee looks like she does not even weigh 100 pounds. She's tiny, skinny. Gets thrown to the ground, punched in the head multiple times. And then she's held down on the cement on the street, picked up, slammed down over and over and over. Her head is slammed into the ground. There's a whole brawl going on. There's a melee. The girl that slammed Kaylee then gets up and starts screaming at other people, don't hit him, don't hit him, and trying to protect a boy that's there. But the girls, the starts the fight. People drive by and don't stop and help. Some girls try to pull her off to help their friend, and she still is the only one there. There are at least 15 other kids around, and none of them stop her from repeatedly and viciously hitting her head on the street.
Guys, I want you to take a listen to our cut four. This is Dave Matt from Crime Online.
Around 2:30 p.m., minutes after the school day ended, students from Hazelwood East High School in St. Louis County, Missouri, gathered to watch the end of an altercation between two 15-year-old girls. Profanity is heard from the crowd as well as one of the participants. The girls square off, with arms outstretched, uncertain of what to do next. Kaylee Gain is one of the girls in the fight. Her opponent, unnamed, but It is the unnamed 15-year-old girl that quickly gets the upper hand in the fight, pulling Gain to the ground while pummeling Gain in the head and upper body. As Gain is now on her back on the pavement, a bystander tries to intervene by trying to get the unnamed girl off Kaylee Gain. The bystander is quickly rushed by two other girls, who push her back from the fight and begin a separate fight of their own, while Gain is being pounded by a closed fist to the head and upper body.
Guys, all of this takes time. Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I want to go to Chris Slusher, high-profile lawyer, joining us out of this jurisdiction in Missouri. You can find him at midmissourilawyers.com. Chris, thank you for being with us. The reason I'm bringing up time, it all went by so quickly. When you hear Dave Mack, the investigative reporter from Crime Online, describe it, first this, then that, then this, then that. As he explains it, it takes him a minute to explain it, but it all happened so quickly, as do most crimes of this nature. My point is to form intent under the law, intent to do the deed. The law does not require a prolonged period of planning, such as poisoning someone over a period of months. Intent to do a crime can be formed in the blink of an eye, the twinkling of a moment, the time it takes you to grab the girl's shoulder and hit her on the ground. It's time to form intent under the law. Isn't that true, Chris Slusher?
Can be formed very quickly. And under Missouri law, one of the things that clearly the defense will be looking at and the prosecution is self-defense.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just choked on my tea when you said self-defense. Spoken like a true trial lawyer. I can see where this is going. Self-defense, my rear end. What? There was never any self-defense going on here. She beat the girl, pounding her head into the cement over and over and over. So where are you getting the self-defense theory?
Well, I think you're right. The difficulty for the juvenile charge is not what took place when the fight started. It's the strikes to the head to the pavement. And what the law says is what you're saying, that intent and mental states can change during the course of event. So if she was reasonable in defending herself when the fight started, that doesn't mean the force that she used was reasonable when she caused the strikes to the head to the pavement. And so you're correct about that. And that's the type of analysis that will take place.
Guys, right now, apparently the prosecutor in this jurisdiction is trying to decide whether adult charges are going to be pursued. The reality is, if they are not, this young girl, the attacker, Marnice DeClue, you think this is her first time at the rodeo? Oh, no. She had some moves that Mike Tyson would envy. This is not her first time throwing a punch. Joining me also, in addition to high-profile lawyer Chris Slusher and Alexis Terezchuk, Dr. Harvey Castro is joining us, board-certified emergency care physician, healthcare consultant. Harvey, thank you for being with us. Dr. Castro, explain to me how bleeding on the brain has occurred. And I'm looking at the grandmother's most recent statement. She says the family is devastated and that the condition is imminent. I'm not quite sure what she means by imminent. It makes me afraid the girl is about to die. I'm talking about Kelly Gang, the 16-year-old girl. It makes me fear she's about to die. But how do you get bleeding to the brain, and how is it that every moment counts? As all these people are standing around taking videos and egging on the fight, every moment counted for Kelly Gang.
This is so gut-wrenching. As a parent, I am extremely disturbed by seeing this video. And as an ER doctor, it's never easy to watch any of these things. To answer your question, unfortunately, what happens is we get struck into our skull. And in this particular case, when she got struck, the injury to the skull actually broke the skull, basically a fracture.
Okay, wait. Okay, so you're saying when her head was beaten down on the cement, not just once, but multiple times, even though one blow could have done it. I mean, I heard the thud. You know, Dr. Castro, when you hear, say, a rattlesnake, right, you never forget the sound. When you hear, when somebody locks and loads a shotgun, you hear that sound. You never forget it. That thud is something you never get over. A human head being slammed down on cement, and you can actually hear kind of a dull, wet sounding thud. Jackie, is that how you would, there's no other way to describe it. It's sickening. It's sickening. And you know instinctively there's no coming back from that. So you're saying that hit, and it looks like she's being hit on the back of the head. You pointed to the front of the head when you were describing it. But you're saying on the back of the head that would have fractured the skull. But how does that cause bleeding to the brain? And why is bleeding to the brain deadly?
Yeah. So there's two things going on. Number one, she was hit in the front. And there's this scientific phenomenon called coup, counter-coup. And all that means is you get hit in the front, but the brain actually goes back and forth and gets hit in the back. In this particular case, she was getting hit front and back, so it was getting multiple hits.
Okay, hold on just a sec. I want to describe, I want Dr. Harvey Castro to explain more slowly what coup contra coup means. I first encountered it in shaken baby syndrome, where the child is shaken like that, and the brain literally is bouncing back and forth like a ping pong ball from the back of the head to the front of the head. And the baby shaking like that. I hadn't thought about coup contra coup, Dr. Castro. You're right, because her head is being slammed down and it looks like she's being yanked by, is it her shoulders or her hair? I think her shoulders, then yanked back up and slammed down again. It's a miracle she's even still alive. But you're saying the coup contra coup, the brain will hit the back, then the front, then the back, then the front. Okay, let's go from there.
And so think of it this way. We have arteries and vessels all over our brain. And so every time we're being hit back and forth, think of a shearing of those arteries and vessels and blood. And to answer your second part, that just think of it as two parts rubbing on each other, causing a little cut, micro cuts on the brain. And then imagine all that swelling that's going on, putting pressure on the brain, literally killing the nerves of the brain. And then that blood is also irritating the brain to the point where it's killing those cells. And so within seconds, we're causing damage to this child.
Well, I guess I had it backwards, because I thought, yes, everything that you just said, but the brain is damaged like a bruise when you can kind of feel it rise up. The brain starts to swell when it encounters any, it's very delicate, any type of hit or trauma, anything will make the brain start swelling up. And the brain swells and it starts touching the skull and there's nowhere for it to go. And that causes the brain injury. Now, is that correct?
Yeah, what you said is perfectly correct. I'm just going down to the microscopic level, but what you said is another mechanism of damage to the brain. Now you're mentioning the pressure. So you're right, our skull, there's not much space left between our brain and our skull. And so any kind of swelling, any blood, anything that adds volume into our brain, to our skull, will cause more irritation. And because of that, we are hurting our brain. And depending where the damage is of our brain, we will see different functions. In this particular case, we saw damage to the frontal lobe. And that basically creates this personality and our memory and different ways of interacting. So that immediately, that part, when if she, God forbid, anything bad happens, but let's say she comes back, she's going to have permanent issues with her frontal emotional state and just having conversations with people.
Can I tell you something, Dr. Harvey Castro? Guys, you can find Dr. Harvey at harveycastromd.info. Dr. Harvey, I had a young male relative get hit by a woman in a van with three screaming kids in the back. He goes, he was on his bike. He goes up in the air, hits her hood, then falls on the sidewalk right there. He was airlifted to Scottish Rite. Long story short, at the original hospital, they thank the Lord for a brain surgeon that was there. Immediately put a shunt, a hole in his head was sawed. A shunt, which is like a tube, was immediately stuck in the top of his head to relieve that swelling pressure so the brain wouldn't be hurt. And that had to be done immediately. Do you know it took him months to be able to learn to walk and spell and speak again? He couldn't even color with a crayon. I remember he picked the crayon up like this and colored the first time he could color. He didn't remember anything. And I'm just trying to figure out how the good part of that is he completed college with a double major in IT and chemistry, I think it was, and now has a happy life with a family, the works. But this little girl didn't get that treatment, Dr. Castro. She didn't get that treatment at all.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Karen Stark, joining me, renowned psychologist, joining us out of the Manhattan jurisdiction, TV radio trauma expert at KarenStark.com. And in case you try to reach her, it's Karen with a C, KarenStark.com. Karen, I want you to look at the monitor, and I know how you feel about violence, but force yourself to look at the video again, because it's not just this girl, Marnice Duclos, and again, I'm telling you, this ain't her first time in the ring.
No way.
She's throwing punches like a pro. Uh-uh. But look at her behavior. She won't stop. She's punching Kelly, and everybody's just like, there are guys standing around letting it happen. Then she races off and attacks another group. You're never going to believe what Jackie here on the set is telling me. But I want you to hear this too. Listen to this, Karen Stark. The family of the defendant is insisting she is the victim, claiming she has good character, clean school record, excellent work ethic. She, the attacker, is the victim. So, Karen Stark, should I believe her or my lying eyes?
I think we need to believe what we see, Nancy, which is just outrageous. It's outrageous. You're looking at a culture of aggression. You're looking at a school system, in my opinion, where this is allowed to happen because this isn't a first go-round. This girl, woman who's attacking her, is obviously somebody who knows what she's doing. She's got her fist raised. She's ready to go. She even after ignores her and starts fighting with other people, and then, like you said, comes back and wants to fight again. No one pays attention to this girl who's there on the ground. Nobody. They're just fighting with each other and ready to keep fighting. So something is going on in the school, too, I would suggest, that they are allowing this kind of stuff to happen.
And what about that school statement, Karen Stark? Hazelwood East.
No responsibility.
They can kiss my rear end because their statement does not take any responsibility. And it seemingly gives, quote, sincerest condolences to everyone involved. How about Kelly Gain, the little girl with brain damage? How about her? I don't know if this little girl is even going to live.
They're just making sure they cover all the bases. They're saying that they're sorry for everybody involved. It just doesn't make any sense. They want to stay out of trouble.
I want you to hear Sydney Sumner in our Cut 5 from crimeonline.com. Listen.
Kaylee Gain is on her back being hit in the head when the unnamed female she is fighting puts her weight on the smaller Gain and proceeds to pull Kaylee Gain's head about 2 feet above the concrete, then slams Gain's head into the cement. The first hit renders Kaylee Gain unable to defend herself as her assailant quickly pulls her back up off the concrete, lifts her head up further than the first time, and smashes the head of Kaylee Gain back into the cement again. The sound of the back of her head hitting concrete is such a sickening thud, observers realize something terrible has happened. The unnamed attacker, as well as those who have observed the beating, move on to other fights taking place, while Kaylee Gain is left alone, unconscious on the pavement. As EMTs arrive, Gain is convulsing.
What is that, Dr. Harvey Castro? Why did Kaylee go into convulsions? What are convulsions exactly?
Yeah, unfortunately, to your point, we talked about this, the irritation of the blood into the brain is causing the electricity that we have in our brain to start firing. And when it starts firing over and over, it's causing us to have these seizure type convulsions that they witness. And so that tells me two things. One, she was already bleeding. Two, she was, to your point again, she was having increased pressure in her brain to the point where it was squishing down on these neurons to create this discharge, to create this seizures-like activity.
Joining me now, Barry Hutchinson Sr., former law enforcement officer, owner of Barry & Associates Investigative Services in Kansas City. Barry, thank you for being with us. I'm sure that both you and Chris Slusher are very familiar with this area. Barry Hutchinson, what in the hay are they saying? They don't know if they should charge this girl. That is not a girl. When I think of a girl, I think of a 9-10-year-old girl. This is a full-on woman. And she's violent, vicious, and aggressive. What are they talking about? They don't know if they're charging her as an adult.
Well, Nancy, first of all, I'm going to call it like I see it, and I don't care who it offends. This girl's a thug.
She's a thug. Yes.
Yeah, she's a thug. And if that alienates anybody from me saying that, tough. You know, that's just the way it is. Anybody can watch that video and see exactly what kind of person this is attacking this young lady. And if I were still in law enforcement and was prosecuting this case myself, I would charge her with attempted murder. It wouldn't just be aggravated assault, because to me it goes beyond aggravated assault when she continually pounds this girl's head into the ground like a watermelon. You know, just beating it until it just busts open. And that's exactly what it sounds like. It sounds like somebody taking a melon and dropping it on the concrete. It's sickening.
Barry Hutchinson, you took the words right out of my mouth. A, she's a thug. But B, I have a note here. Ag assault, no. Attempted murder, yes. Because an ag assault puts someone, the victim, in immediate fear of serious bodily injury. Immediate fear of serious bodily injury. For instance, if I pull a 38 on you, and I don't even pull the trigger, but if I put you in immediate fear of serious bodily injury, under the law, that is an ag assault. Here, you've got a repeated beatdown. Each thud of her head is another charge in my mind. That is not self-defense. This attacker is not the victim. What is upside down? What is going on in this jurisdiction, Barry?
Well, unfortunately, Nancy, it's a continuation of the former district attorney over there, Kim Gardner, in the way that she handled a lot of things over there and basically just refused to prosecute anybody. I'll go a step further. I would classify this as a hate crime, you know. What would people say, you know, the Al Sharptons of the world that would say if the coin were flipped and it was the white girl that got, you know, the best of the black girl? They'd be running up and down, marching, you know, carrying on about stuff, you know, about a black child being abused.
You know, but if you take that factor out of it, this is a full-on aggravated assault. Chris Slusher joining me, high-profile Missouri attorney at MidMissouriLawyers.com. Chris, again, thank you to you and Barry for being with us. Chris, I want to talk to you about when juveniles get treated as adults. I want to tell you the first juvenile I tried for murder was 13 Was I happy about it? No, I'm not happy about it. But this was a guy that was 6'3". He broke into, well, he didn't break into, he busted into a pawn shop. And he gunned down three people, leaving one dead and one forever on a catheter in a wheelchair. Okay? So what was I supposed to do? Give him 18 months in juvie jail and everybody kumbaya holding hands every afternoon at 4 o'clock? No. No. Uh-uh. So I'm not happy a 13-year-old was tried for murder. Was it the right thing to do? Yes. Did it taste good going down? No, it didn't, but it was still justice. This is the way it works, and correct me if I'm wrong in that jurisdiction. In many jurisdictions, there are seven deadly sins called DFAs, designated felony attempts, assaults. The designated felonies are, for instance, murder, rape, armed robbery, trafficking drugs, arson, child molestation, and aggravated assault. You will get transferred to adult court for the seven designated felonies. Now, normally there's a bind-over hearing where the case is bound or transferred over from juvenile court to superior or adult court. Tell me, how does it work in your jurisdiction? How am I going to get Marnice DeClue prosecuted as an adult?
Well, it works in a similar way. The most likely charge, based upon what I've observed under Missouri law, is probably assault first degree, which is attempting to kill or knowingly causing serious physical injury. And so what will happen is the juvenile office will make a charging decision.
What? The juvenile office makes this decision? Uh-oh, we're all up the creek without a paddle. Because everybody knows in juvenile, you bring in psychologists, you all sit around, no offense, Karen Stark, you sit around and go, wow, why did this happen? Was the defendant in an unfortunate setting as a child? That may all be true, and I don't like it. But that does not help the victim. The juvenile court decides?
The juvenile court decides the charge. And then we have a system, and if it's charged assault first, just as you've described, that then automatically requires what we call a certification hearing. And then the things that you just described that you don't care for about the juvenile process will take place. There'll be, background reports and those types of things. And then a judge will make a decision about whether the case will then be certified as an adult case and be transferred then to the prosecuting attorney's office in the adult court.
So who makes that ultimate decision as to whether this girl, Marnice DeClue, is going to be treated as an adult? Who's making that decision?
A judge in the juvenile court, which isn't always the most friendly defense venue for us.
So a juvenile judge is going to make this decision? It's not bound over and the district attorney decides?
No, the juvenile judge makes the decision about certification as an adult.
Yeah, I don't like that at all. And now we've got moanings and groanings, Alexis Tereshchuk. Please tell me it's not true that the attacker's family is saying she's the victim, that she was lured there and didn't know anything about a fight. I mean, listen, when I'm with the twins, Alexis, and you have a young boy, if I smell trouble, I get them out of there. You know how many times I want to have road rage or bless somebody out, but I don't do it because it's not safe. They are more important than me feeling better after an incident of some sort. My point is, nobody lured her there. That is a lie. And if she saw a fight brewing, she could have left.
What people are saying is that the girls had, they were going to fight. They were together, but that Kaylee attacked first. They're saying that she charged at the other girl, and that's why the other girl said that she had to defend herself. That's what they are saying. That's the excuse that's coming out for this, that Kaylee charged first. She threw the first punch. And so therefore that this absolute beatdown was justified because she was defending herself. That is what their side is saying.
Oh, okay. So with that theory, Barry Hutchinson Sr., former veteran law enforcement, now runs Barry and Associates Investigative Services. Barry, in that scenario that Alexis Terezchuk is trying to feed me with a silver spoon. I'm not swallowing it, Alexis. Just know that. You could slap me, Barry, and then I could pull out my Uzi and just shoot you right in the head. And that would be fine because you slapped me first. That's not right.
No, the level of threat, once the level of threat is stopped to where it's not necessary to escalate the amount of force, that goes out the window. So I don't see that. I don't see that here. What I see is the young lady that performed the beatdown. I see her as being the, definitely being the overzealous threat.
Are you calling her a young lady? She looks like a professional fighter.
Yeah.
She like a professional kickbox fighter. She's using it all. Wrestling moves, punches, and footwork like a butterfly. Guys, I want you to hear our friend Nicole Parton, Crime Online.
According to a GoFundMe fundraiser set up by a family friend, Kaylee Gain was left alone on the ground to convulse before EMTs arrived on the scene. Police and rescue squad units arrive. Kaylee Gain is taken to the hospital where she is listed in critical condition with a skull fracture, frontal lobe damage, major brain bleeding, and swelling. The extent of brain damage will not be determined until Kaylee Gain wakes.
The grandmother is telling us that little Kaylee's head was smashed into a cement concrete road, and the doctors are saying that they won't know the extent of the brain damage until the little girl wakes up. To Dr. Harvey Castro joining us, harveycastromd.info, Dr. Harvey, is that true? They can't tell any level of brain damage until Kaylee wakes up?
To some extent, you can find out very minimal. You can put some electrodes of the brain and see what activity is going on, but you really can't test anything until you actually speak to the patient and see what they're able to say. It's true, and unfortunately, it's a waiting game. We're just literally just waiting, and we're doing everything we can to minimize the damage, like you said earlier, opening the skull, relieving the pressure, but we really won't know what's going on until we actually have a conversation with her.
I know a little bit more, Dr. Harvey Castro. According to the family, we have learned that Kaylee suffered, as you pointed out earlier, a skull fracture and frontal lobe damage, which goes back to what you were describing as the coup contre coup, because in the video you can see her head is being slammed down on cement from behind, but the frontal lobe there is frontal lobe damage as well. And of course, I'm not an MD, but I assume that means the front of your brain, major brain bleeding and swelling. Does any of that change your opinion?
I'm with you. Unfortunately, I'm hopeful that she turns the corner, but I'm worried that this is going to be her, unfortunately, now.
And what about Alexis Terezchuk? All the little harpies gathered around, not doing a thing. One girl did try to pull Marnice Duclos off the victim, and Duclos swung at her as well. But the others were not trying to help. They were videoing it and jeering, and then they leave the girl to brain bleed on the road. And passersby, adults driving, do nothing.
That's one girl tried to help her. Her friend was screaming, get off of her, and she pulled her. And then another girl jumped on her and attacked her and started throwing a punch at her so she had to throw up. Nobody stopped. Nobody tried to help this at all. Once the vicious beating, once she started pounding her on the ground, even one, two, multiple times, nobody stepped in. And then there were all these fights going on all around it. And then you could see the girl, Kaylee's lying on the ground. Her attacker gets up and goes and tries to defend a boy, saying, keep your hands off of him, and dragging someone else, and then just standing around. No one helps this girl. No one goes up to her. Even her friend that had tried to help, I don't know if it's her friend, even the other girl that tried to help her, doesn't go back and try to see what's going on at all. Nobody helped this little girl as she was lying on the ground.
For everyone that wants this defendant, this attacker, to be treated as a juvenile and get out of juvie jail, as it's called, it's more like a dorm setting, in a few months, you take her home to your home and let her be around your children, because I don't want her. I wouldn't let her within 10 feet of either one of my twins. Oh, no. So think long and hard before you advocate this girl getting out. And again, I can guarantee you this is not her first time throwing a punch. Do you want your voice to be heard? Because I do. The district attorney is Gabriel Gore, G-O-R-E, at 314-622-4941. I've got a funny feeling this is going to go over Gore's head because I see no signs of Gore doing anything appropriate. The attorney general is Andrew Bailey, 573-751-3321. Or if you don't want your number associated with the call, you can write consumer.help@ago.mo.gov. We've been assured a hearing will occur within a week to determine if this attacker, Marnice Duclos, will be treated as an adult. Right now, all we can do is pray. Pray for this girl, Keely Gain. Tip line 866-371-TIPS, 866-371-8477. What, if anything, do you know about the suspect's movements before, during, and after? Did she brag? Did she go on social media and brag? Did she talk about what happened? If so, what did she say? What did she do with her bloody clothes? What were her movements and actions following this attack? And remember, Keely Gaines will likely be left, if she lives, with permanent brain damage. We wait as justice unfolds. Goodbye, friend.